reflection in his eyes.
Encounters, of course, and I can align in with other people that have had similar encounters. Is that okay?
Yes.
So, quick synopsis: as a small child, felt really lonely, didn't feel loved, couldn't read till I was 9, so didn't really have a lot of friends. My mum tried to teach me to read. In those days, didn't know what dyslexia was. Had very bad asthma as a child, didn't know I got asthma because I'm 57. My parents just used to rub this goose grease on my chest and sit up with me, and I'd be wheezing, terrified. But the only scriptures I knew stories about weren't Moses, so I could read a tiny bit of my Bible, and I would sit up in the night in my little pink dressing gown. The frost would be on more on the inside of the room than the outside. We have no central heating, just a hot water bottle, I'd be freezing, and I could breathe. And I somehow drag myself out of bed and go to my dad, and he was amazed, and he would sit hours rubbing my chest. And he'd have to get up at 5 o'clock to cycle 50 miles to work and back. He was amazing looking back. But the more I prayed, the more stressed I'd get, keeping me fit. But after a while, I began to realise that if I did calm my breathing down and try and calm down, even before I went to get my dad into my bedroom, that this cloud would appear in my bedroom. It was like a mist to start with, but I realised I was in a trance. I was actually seeing it in a vision. When I eventually told my parents, when I got to about the age of 14, as I grew up, my asthma was a lot better. But the church came round and prayed and shut it down. Because they didn't understand it was a Methodist church. They didn't get what was going on with me. So they sort of shut these things down. And this mist would come and go, and it'd be in my room. And it was nice. I used to feel better when it came in the room. I could breathe better. But I knew I didn't understand them. So I started having dreams where my physical, Jane Schroeder would also be on the ceiling and in bed. Scary, man.
Yeah.
I stopped telling my parents because I knew they'd bring the church around again. I didn't like it when we prayed, but they were lovely people. And then this one day, we had this guy come to our meeting, and he talked about explicit in the youth group witchcraft. He actually scared me stupid.
Wow.
Because a lot of the things he talked about, I've seen it when in dreams and in visions. And this leaving your body is illegal stuff. And I didn't get it. And my spirit would go nearly every night. And I see myself on the ceiling.
Wow.
Anyway, I said, Lord, you've got to bring somebody to help me. I spent many years alone, but I began to learn. I got a friend called Jesus and talked to him. And I've shared before about the age of 6, quickly, somebody gave me a book. If Jesus came to my house, it's a nursery rhyme, knocked upon the door, I'm sure I'd be more happy than I'd ever been before. I'd run downstairs to meet him, and the door I'd open wide, and I would say to Jesus, oh, won't you come inside? And this book I'd read over and over again as best as I could. Most of the verses I remembered from when I was at Sunday school. I couldn't actually properly read it. So I went to school, awful, hit me over the head, used to make me read publicly in the classroom. Talk about embarrassed shame, it's ridiculous. My mum would be fantastic with me when I got home. She'd love on me, encourage me. And then they'd say, you think you're stupid, you never amount to anything, so you start to believe it. But then we discovered that I was really good at flower arranging. So when I got to high school, I was in the dunces class. I won the flower arrangement every single year, every single category. And the headmaster's wife began to pick some out with me. She realised I'd got something really precious. And I went to a really nice high school, really strict, but they didn't do this whole stand you in the corner and you had to read in front of the class. They'd say, come at lunchtime, we'll give you extra lessons. I was in the right school with the right people. So then my low self-esteem began to grow. And I realised I could grow things in the garden. My dad was so gifted with his plants, not knowing that he was praying for them. Because he never really said that. And so we could grow things, and I would somehow pray with them. Didn't understand prayer, really. Sunday school's a nightmare. They just preach scripture, and I didn't get any of it. But if they talked about Moses, I'd listen. Anyway, so I joined a youth group, then I joined a city mission, and I got a journey of people really showing love from about the age of 16. And I'd have these crazy like things in my room, but they were always lucid, they were never quite clear. So anyway, I eventually decided to tell this pastor guy that I was probably about 20. I said, look, I need to talk to you, something's going on in my life. So I told him, and he understood as best he could. So he prayed with me a little bit. I had a bit of deliverance because I picked up loads of critters along the way. Of course, I was going in and out of heaven, not knowing what I was doing. And I'm bringing things back into my room.
Wow.
It's true. You don't do it under the government of heaven. I asked Jesus in my heart, 14. But I needed help. I was like, God, I need your help.
Yeah.
So the encounters got crazier, started to open up again, but the church prayer just made it worse. I had more demonic encounters. Nightmares, night terrors, these things would appear in my bedroom.
Wow.
And it just breeds fear. But there's always that place in your heart, God's there. I'm not abandoned.
Yeah.
I'm loved.
That's right, that's right.
My parents were great. My mum was, I was very close to my mum. So that was that. Got married. As soon as I got married, I'm a non-Christian. I was in a phase where rebellious, just doing my own thing, things that I don't want to talk about. And I met my husband at the time. We got married, it was amazing. After a year, it was like going to the cinema in the house. I'd start to envision, I'd be like cooking dinner, and these 10 things would appear on the wall. It was like going to 10 cinemas at the same time.
Wow.
Some of them were quite pleasant. But some of it was, and he was like really worried then. He married this really lovely lady, we fell in love, we'd gone out with each other for 7 years. We were really close, we were good friends, and he got this lunatic wife that was lying under the table in people's houses. And I started birthing, weeping, didn't know it was intercession, and then the Lord bought my best friend. And the Lord said to her, this woman's going to be hard work, she'll kick and scream and swear at you, but I'll tell you what, I want this woman quickly. I'm going to move very fast on her, and she'll say the most unlovable things, but you've got to love her. I'm going to teach you more about unconditional love. She's about 12 years older than me, and she fostered 52 children in her lifetime. She knew how to love. I didn't know that at the time. She would give me this and love me, and she was like strict, man.
Wow.
But prayed with me a lot, helped me. And after 2 years of in and out praying with her, we do like prayer every week for 6 weeks, then I'd take 6 weeks off and I'd have to deal with stuff myself. So she was always teaching me to rely on God. But I'll never forget the funniest thing, this is how protective she was towards me. The pastor's preaching, it was a great message, it was a youth meeting, and they were all eating barley sugars. And it was that really loud, crackly paper. And they're all eating them. I'm the last one to get one in the row. And he goes, if you've got sweets, he stopped the whole bit. He goes, give everybody one. My confidence wasn't brilliant at that point. And then afterwards he goes, I'm going to get my prayer team. He said, you've got a spirit of rebellion.
Aww.
My friend went, it's okay. I literally got up out my seat and they chased me around the meeting. And I knew then I did not like Christians. We left. She messaged them and said, that was the worst thing you ever could have done. I've been working hard for Jane and you just killed all the work I've done.
Wow.
So that was it. We left another church.
Wow.
But then we met the Vineyarders, John Wimber. He prayed with me 3 times.
Wow.
We go to this big church. Thousands of people, 2 services. I think I've gone to heaven and died. Because I could shout and scream and jump up and down because everybody else was. Hallelujah. It was like, Jesus is coming out of my belly like a mighty flowing river. Exactly. We show up, the pastorship comes in and he says, The Lord told me, just come back from Toronto, he said, the Lord told me to stand aside and let his spirit in. And it just erupted for months after months. We had two services.
Wow.
I learned how to do ministry team. I learned loads of things.
Wow.
And John Wimble would come every year for 3 years, and we'd have this great big massive theatre, 3,000 people. And I'd be on ministry team and I would learn a lot. And he would come, he'd just come and meet us all, the team, and he would pray for us all, lay hands on him. I got to meet his wife, Carol Wimber. And and it was really weird because I didn't know he was famous all them years. I didn't know what this dude was, I didn't care. Jesus was showing up and he was showing up in my heart.
Amen, that's awesome.
I'm not good on who everybody is. It's like, who's that person? But bless them. So I got to know John Wimber. And he was amazing. He did like mass body pile-ups. And you know, you got like a ministry team of 300 people with 2,000 people and praying, you're like, more, like running up and down, it was epic. And that was amazing. And I began to realize value. He spoke on the Father's heart 1 year, and he just equipping the saints, and I learned a lot. And then I began to start having more visitations of stuff in my room at night time.
Wow.
But this, I knew more and more about it then. And I'd been through loads of delivery, which you can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was like, I'm just taking me, deliver me now. It was amazing. And we began to change the way I think. I started learning about the blood of Jesus' DNA. It wasn't just scripture, it became life.
Wow.
And it was amazing. So I thank God for this, my closest friend, who helped me through lots of things. I'll tell you a quick funny story. One day, I don't know why I wasn't speaking to her, I just had these hissy fits and moody things. Just because I was dealing with so much stuff at the time. And my mum had been very sick and had a stroke, and we were nursing her. I had two small children, and my husband came very sick. He developed with this chronic illness, so he was ill all the time, and I worked three jobs with two children.
Wow.
And my mum had a stroke. Yeah. So I learned how to care really quick and be multitasker.
Wow.
And I remember this one day, I don't know what was going on, I was not in a good place, just tired, and my friend texted me, and she was telling everybody the story, and she says, you know, can I come round? I'm like, no. I'm coming round. No. Tap at the door, letterbox, open the door so I'll smack your ass. Good friends, who needs enemies when you've got good friends like that? And she stood outside for ages, and when she came in, she goes, what's going on? And we just sat and we prayed, and it was done deal. Faithful. How faithful are you with what God has told you to do?
Wow.
Can you love unconditionally? Whatever state somebody's in, can you go the extra mile if the Lord tells you to do that?
Yes.
Are we prepared to love? Are we prepared to be mothers and fathers in the nation? I wouldn't be stood here now if it wasn't for her.
Yeah. That's good.
That's holding things in our hearts. We have to hold a nation in our hearts. There's so many broken, fatherless mothers. You might be an intercessor in a closet. You might never go on the streets like I do. Fantastic. Do what the Lord's called you to do.
Yeah.
Wow. We honour the angelic realm. We thank you, God.
Yes.
We say we don't worship them.
Yes. That's right.
But it says in Psalm 103, they're our friends, our servants.
Yeah.
They're sent out of heaven to support us and love us and be that. They're created to support us, to be with us and be our servants. We love you. We honour you. We say you are amazing. Those angels that come straight out of the throne room, full of glory, full of presence, full of fire.
Yeah.
That's what I was seeing tonight in the worship. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And my first encounter with an angel was in London at a worship set. And I sort of knew they were around me, and I sort of felt these presence in these orbs in my room and things. But I didn't know I could name them and talk to them at the time. And I was on this conference, and I saw this like muddy pond. There was all lily pads and frogs and flowers. It was a bit murky. And I was sucked into the pond right underneath it. I thought, oh, I'm going to drown. I think crazy when I'm in encounters. And all of a sudden, I became like this flower, a beautiful white flower. And I popped up again out of the water, and I was a lotus lily. And the Lord said to me, you've got an angel called Lotus Lily. And this angel is all to do with the co-crucified with Christ. It's the blood of Jesus, because the lily, if you Google it and look it up, it's cultivated in the mud, in the water, right under the depths, in the pond and the rivers. But when it actually comes up and shoots out, it is pure white out of the mud and the murky water. So he said, this angel's with you to bring the message of the co-crucified, the gospel, through the nations. Then I went through a stage where I went to warfare. I didn't understand it, but I'd be like praying, and I'd go over to, say, Saudi Arabia, and my hands were like knives, a bit like Wolverine would come out of my fingers. And I'd be fighting these things, not even sure what they were. But I'd be fighting, I'd wake up in the morning like a hot sweat, and I'd be doing something in the night. And then one day, my ex-husband, we'd gone to sleep, he was lying next to me on my left-hand side, and this like hooded being appeared in the night in my dream. And then I sat up in bed and I could see it clearly. And it was heading towards us, and I was like, what is that thing? And it was, I knew it was something to do with death, but it came into the room, and then all these like snaky things, see both realms, seeing in the realms of the spirit? Which realms do you want to see? Are you prepared to do both? For me, both is option, there's no option. It's always both for me, because I learned that as a child. Some people never see these things. They just don't do warfare, but it's on my scroll. I now understand that.
Yeah.
And they came up to bed, and I'm like freaking out. But I'm sort of half asleep, this is funny, half awake, and I'm fighting these things, and these things come out of my hand, like talons, like killing them in spirit, but in natural. And when I eventually wake up, and because Rob's woken up then, put the light on, you're not going to believe what I've done, I'm covered in blood. As I turned around in bed, one of my toenails, I've caught his face, I've cut his face and I've cut his wrist. And he's like bleeding, and he thinks it's quite funny actually. He didn't know what's happening. When he went to work the next day, the guys at work, he was a labourer, main cable laying underground and overhead pylons and things. They were like, God, have you had a cat fight with your wife? And I was like, yeah. But this was the sort of stuff he had to put up with. I just couldn't help it. So I had loads of funny encounters like that. And he was fine about it, he just put loads of antiseptic on my back to sleep. But I'm sat there shaking. But I definitely did something in the atmosphere around the area and in our house at the time. I didn't understand. I get it now.
Wow.
All the teachings that were out there and all the meetings I've been to and books that I've read. And it would be like that. And then it would be really glorious for a few weeks. And I'd have no encounters, it'd just be sleep, rest, it's fine, you know? And then, yeah. Is this making sense to anybody, speaking to anybody? And then I began a journey of honouring the angels and wanting to learn to interact with them. And everything flows out of desire. Everything. Honour and desire. You can pray. You know, Lord, I want to see in my eyes, in my ears, bloodline cleansing. Amen. But for me, it was my desire. Things would show up when I was really desiring it. And I'd know the difference in the atmosphere. I'd know when it would come and when it wouldn't. So I began to learn how to ride the waves in the kingdom realm, and the ebbs and flows of the river, and the seasons, and the tides, and the jet streams. Nobody taught me any of this. I learned it myself. And then, the most amazing day, I met the Welsh guys. That transformed my life forever. Because I could talk about things they understood, they experienced, they could help me with.
Yeah.
And then I began to realise that loads of the demonic stuff, I could talk it through and work out what was going on. Because I want to know what I did, what was going on, why didn't that change, why did that change? And I began to journey of learning. This is a podcast, epic, isn't it? You think about all the material that's out there, we are so blessed.
Yes, true.
Yeah. We are. We have to honour.
Yes.
Amazing. And then I began to realise that lots of things were happening. We're in scripture, Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6.
Yes.
Eyes, wheels, wheels, amber, flames, fire. I like it a lot. And then I began to realise there's this thing called creepy glory. It's true. I call it creepy glory. It's like when time stretches, our guys call it rich time because we don't have a word for it. But I call it creepy glory. And I began to realise that I could move in and out these different realms. And, let me explain it well. Okay, I got a good quote. This will help. The Ladies of Gold. Frances Metcalfe formed a group dedicated to worship and intercede for the nations. They would meet every day in this blue imaginary door in her house. They would go into the heavens and pray together.
Wow.
And I began to realise I've been experienced a little morsel of what they experienced. And I love this, it says. The golden candlestick is what they were called, the ladies in the golden candlestick. Was also a conduit of hundreds of thousands of dollars to be funneled into the kingdom. So they were a conduit of money coming into the kingdom. They followed after the pattern of George Muller in the support of numerous orphans in schools. They never petitioned people for money. Wow. Whee. Relaying sovereignly on the coming in of the supernatural when they praise and worship. Because the money just flows through their hands like water. The Lord entrusted them, wow, with great amounts that went to support hundreds of missionaries throughout the world. The ladies didn't always go there. They were taken in bodily form to different nations where they raised the dead, healed the sick, and brought salvation. Can you imagine that? It's epic. The ladies understood the importance of missions primarily through their theological education at Elm and Life, which is where they all went. All these things, the revelation of the Bride of Christ, was foremost in their experiences and understanding. Jesus, the revelation of him being their bride and the cross.
Wow.
The author and the finisher of our faith. That is what we all believe, isn't it? It's all about the cross.
That's right.
It's
That's
all
right.
about the gospel.
That's right.
Going back to the heart of the Father because it's all about him. It's all about him.
Yeah.
Wow. The golden candlesticks believed in evangelism as something of preeminence to ministry, expressions bringing more of the bride of the King. Rapture, translation, similar to experiences of Elijah and Philip. Oh, just pull on that tonight. Remember, Philip was preaching one place, was taken to another place 40 miles away, prayed with somebody, and then carried on ministering.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
When I say that, members often several at a time. Wow, he had corporate raptures.
Yeah.
What about the 70 with Moses that went up and didn't ever come back?
Wow.
It doesn't say anywhere they came back. Enoch walked with God, he was a friend of God. He came back for 2 years to teach his family and then he went again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why have we been given the Bible? To walk in this, to walk in his ways, to walk in his truths and encounter his presence. I mean, they physically disappeared and were taken to another part of the world for evangelistic campaigns. Sometimes for several days at a time. Several days at a time. In these instances, they were supernaturally sustained. Wow, they didn't need the restroom or food or drink, amen. Either by the people they met or through the angelic hosts Often the spirit would translate them to a country so that they might gain strategies, blueprints, on how to intercede for particular districts or regions. How many want that?
Yes.
Strategic blueprints, patterns, maps, revelations for nations, countries, cities.
Yes.
How to combat hindrances to the gospel. They would bring back these reports so the whole group could pray together. Oh, inclusion, union, common union. I like it a lot. It wasn't about the one person. In this way, great moves of God were birthed throughout many nations.
Wow.
All times of intercession were guided by Holy Spirit, the government of heaven. As he brought to them seasons for specific burdens and intercession. It was simple. They would simply wait upon the Lord in high praise and worship. What opens your books and your scrolls? High praise and worship. How do we see? Through high praise, whether it be on your own in intimate worship and praise corporately. And if the Spirit didn't lead them to intercede for anything, they didn't intercede. Focusing solely on worshipping their King. The focus was more on worship than warfare, but they had active roles in both capacities. All the earthly translations and raptures were separate from the translations into heaven. So they went up and down in and out of heaven, and they went to and fro and got taken in bodily form. They disappeared from the earth scene into the kingdom realm, and then were taken somewhere. They would return with sandals entwined with strange jewels that they'd never seen before. Vested like garments inserted with 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. Headdresses arrayed in almost living life colours. Articles of clothing that would be stitched with golden thread. I mean metal, real gold. These were regular occurrences.
Wow.
What were they? Regular occurrences. It is not much of a stretch to say that they were often in heaven as on earth. When Francis is speaking about seeing the stars, the heavens, for example, she means from an element of rapture, being there with the stars, in the sky, in the heavens. These kinds of transcendent encounters, although they grew in deeper expressions and manifestations, as the following material shows, were constant, continually, for over 50 years. Starting from day one, when they gathered together. We gather together right now, in union, common union. He recalls seeing a door in the sanctuary, beautifully moulded, emulated a golden. So what are we pulling on today? What are we pulling on tonight? Where do we want to go? Where's your desire? Where's your hunger? What grips your heart? What grips your thinking? Computer games, Xbox, TV. I'm not having a go. I'm just trying to get that hunger to bite you. Grabs your heart, your thinking, your soul, your being. I love going to cinema, especially when I went to see Avatar and I just shouted the whole film and everyone moved away from me in the cinema. I was on my butt, sat there praying. Kurabasi, kurabasi, dora, ma, 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 ma. I got up to leave. We had a friend with us at the time, my son's girlfriend, and they were just shocked. They were just like, oh. I'm not with her, we're not with her. She's not my mum. I don't care. I'm used to them doing that. I have a bright pink coat. I get up to leave. I've got this lovely girl with me. She comes, next minute, push, flat on the floor. These two hands push me. He pushed me. He pushed me. And I'm laying out. And she's on the floor with me. She's giving her life to Jesus. We go home. Well, we didn't. We crawl. It's a huge cinema. It's like got a great big front porch. It's not little. And we're on our hands and knees. And I'm like, ah. I am trying so hard not to embarrass my kids. I get in the car, I can't even drive, got my head on the steering wheel. They're not insured to drive my car. They were quite young then. I get home, my son's not speaking to me, my daughter thinks it's hilarious, she loves it. She just laughs, she says, you're so funny, Mum, it's the best laugh I've had all week. But I smell a fish. I caught a fishy
yes.
On the hook. Christianity 101, evangelism, cinema, floor, whack. How are your days? Oh, Jesus. So that was an encounter with another angel called Blade. Oh, scariest angel I've ever seen. Big, black, shiny skin. Wings of golden edges. The good thing is, I wasn't imagining it because my friend has the same angel. So good. I go, Justin, there's something funny to tell you. He's going, oh yeah, he's used to me. He goes, oh. Pearl in London's got the same angel, you should chat to her. Man, does he fight on my behalf? He's great. Blade. If I need some warfare, Blade! You can hear him coming. Woo! Thank you, God. But you know, he really fights on your behalf, don't you? With his left fist, he fights. But with his right arm, the wing of the Lord. You stand behind him, and you look through his eyes, and you hear through his ear, and you speak only what he speaks. Power, come. Presence, come. Power, come. Presence, come. Just receive your destiny. Just receive that realm of his presence. Just pull on it right now. Pull the future you right now into the present. Right now. Right now. Full of glory. Full of hope. Full of faith. Full of power. Full of light. Jesus, thank you, God. We thank you for all those assignments and scrolls and blueprints and ledgers. We thank you for the invitation to go up higher, to go in deeper. Cloud right now hovering above, I can see it. It looks like an invitation, an envelope. It's shimmering. Some of you will see it shimmering. Some of you it's like a mist. And it's like swirling round. It's going round and round and round. It's an invitation. And it's just hovering above the atmosphere. You know you can go. Your spirit can go up and sit on the roof and come back down. You go in and out, up and down first before you go to and fro. The invitation swirling and whirling and whirling and whirling. And you look like orbs, white orbs. You're all different shapes and sizes. Some of you look like scan babies on a scan picture, and you get a baby and you're having a baby and you still want to take a scan. And you're moving around in these vortexy orbs. Some of them I can see right now are golden like the sun, and there's a lion's face in some of them. And that speaks to me of that raw power, that raw strength, that fathering, mothering spirit. Some of them are full of menorahs, the seven spirits of God. Some of you have never really operated, you've never really met the beings. They are beings, they are real beings. They're not some airy fairy spirits. Living entities, because the spirit of the living God lives in you. His seven characters, his seven beings. You can engage with each one individually. Sometimes they come two at a time, sometimes you go one at a time. It's all in scripture. This invitation, we can just step onto the cloud. We can just step in it. We can just rise up and ascend into the clouds. And then it unfolds and we go up higher and higher and higher. Shh, the invitation to come up here, to come up higher. John was in the spirit on the Lord's day and he heard a voice. He looked, he heard, come up here. And he saw, and he actually soared in the spirit. He took flight. And that's how in the prayer of silence, in rapture and union and common union. Jesus. And the cloud begins to swirl around and move. I can see it right now. Wow. Jesus. And it's moving across the land. It's moving across this region. Across Louisiana. And the whole time your desire takes you and moves it. You move it with your desire. A few weeks ago I felt really drawn to read about Ezekiel, not knowing that a good friend of mine had been engaging with Ezekiel, and he'd been coming to him, speaking to him in the night hours. Because you know, we're all thinking a lot of our thoughts and intents of our hearts. We're engaging with other people. So I could be in the UK and I could be thinking what you're thinking. It's cool, isn't it? One day, I was worried about my daughter, telling her I wanted to see her, and I wasn't able to get Wi-Fi to speak to her. So I just went to bed and said, Lord, I really need to see Ruth and speak to her, just see she's all right. And I knew it was the season where it was winter, we live in a small cottage on a mountain, it's freezing, it's quite an isolated place to live. I love it. But I haven't heard from her. So, you know mother's heart, my daughter, she's okay. So I just sat for a little bit and I just thought about her, didn't pray, just imagined. It's such and such, I love what time it was on my phone. So if I don't engage it, I make it happen in a sense by framing it up, saying that. And I start to think about it, and I shut my eyes and I was like, I love you, Ruth. I love you, Ruth. I hold you in my heart. From a small baby, and I thought about when she was born, and she's beautiful. And I know that's a way in for me if it's not an easy way in. Because hands up, sometimes we can engage easier than others, can't we? So I start to pray, and I thought, oh, Jesus, you love Ruth. You brought her on this earth. This is why you come to this. And next minute, it's clear. I can see clearly in my kitchen. But the funny thing was, I have these green blinds with white dots on. I knew I was in the kingdom realm because and looking from that perspective, because the blinds were white with green spots on. And all the things were opposite colour. It was nuts. So, and anyway, I got this thought, she's wearing a pink dressing gown. Then I looked, and she's by the microwave. Now, I'm just thinking at the minute, I'm only seeing a bit in part. But you know, it opens up, the more you engage, the more you desire, the more you, you know, honour it. Oh, I am that, Lord. Show me more. And I'm waiting. I'm never in a hurry, because I want to enjoy the journey. I don't want to miss a morsel. Like, if I have a really nice dinner at home, I always lick the plate, but I don't do it in public. I can see it's hilarious, but not in public. I won't do it at dinner with you, don't worry. If you ever had pancakes with sugar and lemon, when you eat them, there's that juice on the plate and you just, your finger's not good enough, you have to lick the plate. Anyway, so then I sort of, I don't know how I did it, I look around the corner, and there she is, and I'm like, hi Ruth. She's oblivious, I'm looking at her. She's got a pink dressing gown. And I'm like, ha ha, very funny, Lord. I bet she's wearing my slippers, not her own. And there she is in my slippers. And it was all through desire and thinking it. I don't switch my brain off, but I don't let it take charge. I don't let my soul overmaster my spirit. So, and I start chatting to her, and then I'm texting her. What are you doing? What are you eating? Oh, I bet you're eating this. And she was eating one of the things I saw, not all of them. And I practiced doing that until I could see her when I want to see her. And other situations, I had to practice again to learn that and to learn that. And all the amazing teachings that are out there that help us, and talking to my friends and how it works with them. You've got to keep talking to each other about what's going on. And so that began another journey of opening up, so I can see Ruth when I like. So I've seen her today, because I haven't had time to speak to her. Isn't it epic?
Yes.
The thoughts and intent of your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your heart thinks more than your brain.
That's right, yes, right.
So Lord, we love you. We honour our minds. We honour our spirits. We honour our hearts. We thank you, we love you, we bless you. And we just open up those realms of possibilities. Father, we give to you now all the disappointments where we've prayed and it's not opened up, or we've not seen, or it's not happened. We just give you those disappointments and we climb over the fence of offence. You're a good, good God. You're full of faith, full of love, full of hope, full of love, joy, and peace. So we ask you tonight that you bring another level, another realm of your presence, that it would be open, open season. It says it's always open. It's us that move away from you, not you move away from us. And Lord, we're sorry for that, but we draw closer and closer and more intimately with you. Wow. We love you. We worship you. So if we can all stand up, we're going to do a little of activation. So where do you want to go tonight? What's on your heart? Is there something really burning and pressing? A nation you want to go and pray? I was in Scotland just walking through a town centre and this guy walked past me and he roughly knocked my shoulder. We were doing some praying for people on the streets and doing dream interpretation and it was pouring the rain. And then he just walked past me and I instantly was like, somewhere else. It was a vision state to start with. Never experienced this before, it was a new thing for me. But I've been reading and praying about the abuse to women in some of the Muslim nations, and it was beginning to stir my heart. If you ever watched a news feed on TV and something grips you in there, in your heart, and you begin to pray for it, it really, and you, that's all you can think about, that's intercession. And you think about it all the time, you read about it, and you just know you've got to do something about it. That's what had been happening to me. It was like a God set up. And the next minute, it was boiling hot. It was a freezing wet, windy day in Scotland. And I'm in this desert place. Now, I can still hear people in the streets around me. Sometimes I can't, sometimes I'm just in that one place. But my desire all week, I've been praying for certain things in the nation that I dread, atrocities to women. I'm in the desert. I knew the region behind the hotels of desert land. But I completely look like an Arab woman. And I go round and round praying and crying. My friends wonder where I've gone, because I'm stood in the town centre crying. I can't move, I'm just stuck there. She comes back to find me, they've all gone to the car park. She straight away puts her arm around me and said, "You okay, Jo?" She jumps in on the encounter. She didn't pray herself in, I didn't ask her in. She just jumped in, and she, not knowing, she got the same heart for me, for the same situations. We stayed there, we walked around with her, we chained with them. We didn't know what to do. I now know what to do, but at the time I didn't know what to do. So we just walked around with them and prayed with them and loved them. And I got the encounter.
Finished.
Ages down the road, prayed, "Lord, take me back," didn't happen. Months, I don't know how long, might even been a year, wasn't thinking about it. I read an article this time in the newspaper, I am instantly with these ladies again. But now I've got a strategy what to do. I knew what to do. Because that gap between that encounter and then the last encounter, the Lord had shown me strategies what to do. Ladies of Gold, they went on missions. The Blue Nun of Angria, for seven as an army years, she was translated. She'd go in a prayer closet and she'd be with the Mexicans, the Spanish people, the tribes. The unruly people that had no education or nothing. And they would learn about Jesus, they would be saved. She told them where to go to find a priest. They walked hundreds of miles to find this priest man. They knew his name and they could not work out how these tribal people got there. They wanted to be baptized in water and in the Holy Spirit. And he baptized them. They looked for this nun for years, and when they got her, they took her to the Basque of the Spanish Inquisition. You can read it. I'm going to read the story, it's epic. But I'm just a quick synopsis. She stepped into a prayer closet every day, and she was there. Year, after day, hour after hour. When she went in front of the Spanish Inquisition, and all these priests and guys, they didn't torture her, fortunately. Do you know why? Because the presence of the Lord was so strong over the holiness of the presence of God, they didn't dare touch her. The fear of the Lord gripped them.
Amen.
There's a whole article, you can read what they said about it, and it's beautiful. They let her go in the end. What is your desire? But I ended up going to this nation for 5 days, slipped in and out. It was amazing. The trip was paid for, two of us went, two women, and we just slipped in and out of this nation and came back home. We prayed with some expats, Indian people there, from Bangalore and different places. And it says, when you read online, this nation, there are 300 Christians, there are 6,000 Christians there. They all hang out in this centre, they're not allowed out of there, but you can hear the worship and praise right across the main town. And guess where the building is? Right opposite the King's Palace and the governmental earthly building. God's doing it. You know yourself hundreds of stories you read, but you know, you can read stories till the cows come home. You want your own encounter. Own it. Desire it. Pull on it. Pull on it. I could tell you millions of stories. We did a conference with Mimi, upheld in the Bill to Abortion Bill. Man, it's gone into the High Court, and what these guys prayed and been praying for years has now been withheld. They learn how to go in the courts of heaven. By faith, they couldn't see a thing to start with, could you? And then the Lord began to show them, open it up and show them, and they began to learn and listen to teachings about it. You can go in the court. courts of heaven and deliberate. Mirrors on earth as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, so it shall be on the earth. If we have any idea the amount of power and presence and glory we have in the tiniest grain of a mustard seed, we'll change the world forever. Can a nation be saved in a day? The king of this country, I can't tell you where it is because it was secret, but the king of this country, he became very sick, he's in his 80s and got a chest infection. There was no one around to go and give him physiotherapy. Guess who the Lord sent? A Christian. This guy now knows all about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And she still goes there on call when he needs her because he's got his own hour of physiotherapy. But he's got this Christian woman now. She's scared. She's opening to the king of this country, a Muslim country. I got to meet her, so I can't tell you where it was. So we don't want to expose what she's doing. God can use you on every area. Are you ready? Are you willing? I was going, choose me. Choose me. Thank you, God. So God, Jesus, we surrender all. We give our hearts to you. We give our wills, sanctified, holy, pure people, set apart. Many are chosen, few will go. You might step into your prayer closet like the blue nun of Agrippa and travel a nation. Or you might actually go in the physical. But dream big. Dream big. Open those dreams. Wow. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Preach the gospel. Hold a dying baby with AIDS in India. The secret things that you never put on Facebook. There's no restriction, only our mindset, only what we restrict. It's super exciting. It's adventurous. Woo! But I allow Jesus to ravish my heart with his irresistible love and deal with my stuff. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to yield and surrender. Oh, would you teach us? Because it's in his eyes, in his loving eyes. We look him full in the face when we step into him. We morph as one. Roaming around in the night. Wow. Yay, Jesus. But you know tonight it's going to be done. It's going to be gone. The visitations you're going to have is with the beauty of Jesus and the angels and the cloud of witnesses. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. We honor that cloud of witnesses. They're amazing. They've gone before you. They've been interceding for eons. Eons and eons and eons. Wow. Jesus. Yay. When I saw that cloud of invitation, I saw Esther. She's beautiful. She just held out a scepter and she just drew you up and into that place of kingly, priestly robes awaiting for you. You know, I joke about this, but I always say there's a massive chair, big throne chair, sat next to Jesus. And it's got a fluffy velvet cushion and it's all squidgy and nice and it's the colour that you love. So mine would be red. And he says, come sit here next to me, come on. Come sit next to me. And then when you get a bit used to who he is and how gorgeous he is, you just climb on his knee. And really, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And you snuggle in and you lean on his chest. So who needs a touch tonight of Papa's love? Just receive it. Who needs to waltz with Jesus? And the lovers waltz in the entwining ballroom. Wow, that's right. All these beautiful ballerinas dressed in a beautiful flamingo pink right now. There's an angel called Lace. Oh, she's beautiful. She swirls round and round you. There's loads of them. Engage with them right now. That one thought, take him in. That one desire to enjoy him in the pleasures.